little luck and the blessings of the people in higher pay grades than any of us here. This should be our last meeting for the for this session. And in our last meeting, we have the honor and the distinction of having two bills to consider in work session, Senate Bill 2656 and Senate Bill 3242. And would you give us a very fast run through on Senate Bill?
House.
It says Senate Bill 2656. Somehow or another, that must be a misprint. There must be a secretarial error somewhere on that, or a computer glitch that...
let's blame the computer, shall we?
That's fine. I'm happy with that. A computer glitch. It should be House Bill, for the record, House Bill 2656, not Senate Bill 2656. And with that, we'll open a work session on House Bill 2656 and a very quick overview of what our problems are and what's going on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. At your places, you should have three documents other than the, you know, computer-glitched agenda. The first one is what I wanted to briefly go over is both of these bills obviously affect the Construction Contractors Board, and I just wanted for folks to keep in mind things that we've already required the Construction Contractors Board to do, and you approved enhancements to their budget and expected some performance out of those, that being the increased consumer education, the 15 person field investigation unit. 2654 has passed both houses, also requires CCB to do some stuff. There's just a little detail there about what that requires them to do. It went out with a no fiscal. So I guess we'll jump into then House Bill 2656, which is the building envelope specialist. The overview memo that I've given you gives you the bullets, a reminder of what the bill does. I can certainly go through those if you'd like, or we could turn the page. I have some amendments for your consideration. A9 and A10 came from Representative Holvey, who is the chair of the House Committee on Consumer Protection. It's my understanding that the A9s provide some clarifying language. I've also provided in that packet a hand engrossed version of the bill if you wanted to see the effects of that. And it also helps there was some concern about the requirements that this would have for licensed landscape contractors in relationship to attaching decks, and the A9s help make that better, is my understanding. The A10s simply remove the continuing education requirement because those are now in 2654. And then we, LFO, has an amendment which you don't have in front of you, which will explain that adds $250,000 other funds expenditure limitation to the CCB budget to help them implement this bill. And I've listed the detail there, Mr. Chair, or I can go through that, or I could entertain questions, whatever your pleasure.
Are there any questions? Senator Bate.
Thank you. This has been like a mess to deal with. We are not a policy committee. We have a representative who is very interested in this bill, wants it passed. I try to get straight answers from both sides of this question, and I get conflicting stories on both sides. It appears the A10s would eliminate the problem, but probably not make the representative very happy either. Do you understand that? Have you worked the policy of this at all?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, no, because I'm a budget geek. I've tried to keep track of where we're headed
okay
and what the intent
is. Mr. Chair, that's okay for staff to say no. Can we ask the Construction Board Contractors Executive Director to come up for a minute?
Certainly. Although I think he's scheduled to be in another meeting as we speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hi, Craig. These are very frustrating times for us at the end of session when we're looking at things we're not supposed to be looking at, especially policy issues and the kinds of things pulling around those. We're supposed to be a Ways and Means Committee, but because Representative Holvey is so interested in this bill, I think we owe him that much to talk about it for a second. The Dash 10 amendments appear to me to, quotation marks, eliminate the problem from the point of view that you wouldn't be certifying these people anymore. Is that correct? So,
Chair Jensen, members of the committee, Craig Smith, Construction Contractors Board. I'd want to get those Dash 10s. I've looked at several different amendments throughout the last couple of weeks, and I'd actually ask Mr. Long to join me, if I can, to help with that particular question, with your permission. So that's all that one is. Yeah. What's being told to me, Senator Bates, is that particular amendment takes out the continuing education, does not take out the certification.
And the continuing education
follow-up, Senator Bates.
And the continuing education situation is the real thing that we're all arguing about here. Is that correct? The real discussion on this bill is the continuing education language. Is that correct?
Chair Johnson and members of the committee, I don't know what you're arguing about because I haven't heard all of the argument, but I think that the policy issue is whether or not this bill is necessary in order to get the job done of making sure that building envelopes don't leak. And there are some folks that have indicated that may be able to be done with current language in 2654, which mandates continuing an education and doesn't require this certification program. That's the policy choice as I understand it.
Mr. Long, follow up, Senator Bates and then Mr. Long.
Do you have a position on this as the executive director of the board? Is this bill necessary or not?
Well, Senator Johnson, Chair Johnson, and Senator Bates, in my judgment, the bill's not necessary.
Mr. Long, do you have something to add?
Mark Long, for the record, Minister of State Building Codes and staff to the task force that brought the series of recommendations to improve construction defects to the legislature. Just to kind of clear up the confusion of Senator Bates' questions, continuing education as well as individual certification were two components recommended by the task force to the legislature. The continuing education piece ended up being contained in two bills, originally in 2656, and as 2656 was referred to Ways and Means, we looked at the various issues that had a fiscal, that didn't have a fiscal, and we put a series of policy issues in a companion bill called House Bill 2654, went through the Senate side, has passed now both chambers, and what the A10s do is simply delete the duplicative language that occurred in House Bill 2654 and House Bill 2656 for continuing education. The second issue is the certification, the training of the folks that actually do the work, and that's what's contained and left in 2656 for this body to consider. So the A10s simply clean up exact language. It was verbatim between 56 and 54, the thinking being that it's not necessary in 56 once the 54 passed the House last week.
Madam.
Final stop.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to say, I sat on the Senator Bates. I sat on the policy committee on the consumer protection, and feel I know Mr. Long and Mr. Smith quite well because we had several hearings. This bill was worked a lot, and there were some 15 meetings of this task force, and a lot of, I think, necessary good legislation came out of the task force. And you don't have complete agreement here, which is shocking.
We've kind of noticed that.
Yeah, but having said that, though, like you said, I mean, in terms of the purview of this committee, I think the bill is such that, I would disagree with Mr. Smith respectfully. I think this bill, in terms of certification and for envelope specialist, I think it is necessary, and I think it's a good bill, and I'm supportive. So, for what it's worth,
is that what, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, is that what the amendments, the Dash 9 and the Dash 10s?
Yeah, these are both from Representative Holvey. The dash 9 and the dash 10, is that accurate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Seeing no further questions, thank you, gentlemen. Colleagues, with all due respect to everybody involved, including my good friend and chair of my favorite other committee, I sense that there is a lot of policy issues that are at play in this, and having gotten tarred and feathered once already this week dealing with policy issues, and with respect to my also good friend, the representative from the committee that this came from, I'm going to recommend that this be a special topic for the interim special session committee to iron out those policy issues and bring back to us in the in February. If that.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and I respect that. I have to say it's kind of frustrating when you have task force and you and a policy committee, you work a bill the way this bill has been worked and so, and others, and advocacy groups are initially supportive and they make claims that they're supportive and they like the concept, and then it becomes obvious that their goal is really to do just this, to just string it out in the hope that in the last days of the session it's just going to die. And I think that's what's happening. I totally respect your position because we're not in a very good position here. But I think it's frustrating because I think a lot of good work was done. I guess I'm hopeful that going down the road we are able to do something because it is a problem. There problems exist in the status quo, and I thought this was something useful. But I just hope advocacy groups come with the idea that they actually do want to get something done, and they're not just playing games and saying that we want to get something done, but change their mind, and this and that is not, and nothing seems to ultimately work. It's really frustrating. So,
thank you, Representative Glazio, and I have shared that sense and feeling with you a lot, having had this happen on more than one occasion in my short career in the legislature, having people come in, and then the further you go, the more behind you get. But I guess I don't know an answer, you know, to that, and I do recognize sometimes we have to take the bull by the horns and make the judgments based on the best things that we can have. Senator Whitson.
Mr. Chair, there was a rule proposed in the Senate here a while back, I believe by Senator Morse, that would have required that any Ways and Means Subcommittee that addressed a amendment with a policy issue would be required to hold a hearing on that as a minimum. It turned out to be a procedural issue in the Senate, but I think it's something that perhaps in the interim we all ought to consider. Because not only today, but yesterday as well, we've run into situations where we're being asked to evaluate substantive changes in bills. A bill that was gutted and stuffed with four other bills, none of which any of us had looked at before.
Yep.
And this is just not appropriate. And I think that it's obviously too late in this session to address the issue, but I really believe it's something that we should be looking at.
Senator, did you wish to speak on 2656?
Just briefly, yes.
Yes, please.
Rick Metzger, State Senator, District 26. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Not going to go into the deliberations that you have that are going on here about what should work or shouldn't work. But I do want to make a couple of comments so this provide a little context where we are and what could be done, and particularly with the direction from the Ways and Means Committee to the CCB as well as building codes. I chair the Senate Business and Transportation. We were the ones that stuffed the rest of the bill that you would have had before you or have before you. to get that moving, because as some of the comments have been made by this committee, this work was very, very important. The task force, it was extremely important. They worked very, very hard, and that stuff had to happen. We were very, very concerned with how the session was going on, and that the bill just may not get around to being heard in Ways and Means. And so we worked to take extract, which was about 85% of that work that was in bill, and put it in the bill that I had in my committee so that we could pass that into law. We couldn't do this part because of the fiscal part of it, but we took everything else out. But one thing that is absolutely true, and if it proves not to be true, in February we'll make a change on that, and that is the language in 2654 on continuing ed is extremely broad, and it also has the penalty power of the CCB to enforce it. And I've had conversations with Mr. Smith and also members of the industry. Regardless of what you do with 2656 here, I believe they have the authority to begin rulemaking on envelope continuing ed, and to put this type of certification requirement and license and enforcement under that very broad authority. And what I would recommend to the committee, and I've had those conversations with these gentlemen, is that make it very clear that we don't need a task force. We've done this work. What we need now is the rulemaking process to actually get moving on this. And ask that this be a priority under the bill that we have already passed if you don't move forward. And I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, I'd say if you don't, I think we don't need to wait any further. I think the rulemaking can begin. I think it can be expected to be done by the time we're here in February, and to see if it does, in fact, meet all the requirements that the legislature is expecting of that, with the requirements for envelope and the appropriate authorities. And if not, then in February we can take appropriate action. But I believe the bill we have passed has that authority in it. I think now we just need to make sure that the department exercises that very broad authority to do exactly what we intend to do, and to make sure that the stakeholders are part of that, which they are, part of the rulemaking process, so that we don't delay. And there is no reason to delay. And they do have the authority. They need to exercise that authority. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate very much your comments, and that's part of, I think, where I was coming from as I'm looking at this bill, that there is some ability present for the agency to begin to do this and to work with this problem, and I certainly think it's a problem that needs to be addressed. And I think we have helped the agency, I think, a little bit by beefing up some of their staff and maybe in some other areas, but all of which will free them up a little bit so that they can proceed with that rulemaking that you're talking about. And that's part of why I think it's a good plan for us to wait until February. And if by February we can't see some results of that, or we don't feel comfortable with it, I would be the first one to support coming back and put this bill or something very close to it in law.
Well, and thank you, Mr. Chair. And just another thing to point out, colleagues, that in the language 2656, some of the requirements aren't fully fulfilled until the year 2014, and I believe we can expedite that much quicker under the authority and keeping our thumb on the agencies to get this work done expeditiously. And I think they want to do that. And I think, and I don't know if you've heard from Mr. Long, but from Building Codes, we'll also tell you that Building Codes is considering changes in some of their code writing to address envelopes as soon as next year. So I just think our responsibility is to make sure they get the work done. We have given them the authority to do that. I think if they know that expectation is that we expect to see those results in February, we will have them.
Thank you very much, Senator Metzger. A quick question from Senator Bates and Senator Whitson.
Thank you. First, Mr. Chair, thank you, Senator Metzger, for coming down and helping us with this. You obviously worked on the policy part of it more than we have and understand it better than we do, and I appreciate your time this morning trying to clarify some of this. Thank you. Two statements real quick. One, we're going to have to talk about, when this session's over, how we're handling things in Ways and Means. It's not appropriate for us to be handling these kind of rather difficult and complex policy issues in a Ways and Means committee at the end of the session. I don't want to be doing this again. And we could do harm to people or not get the job done we're supposed to be doing. Unintended consequences occur because of these kinds of things. Representative Holy, could you stay just for a minute, please? Just for a second, please. Could you stay just for a moment?
Would you like me to comment?
Yes. Okay. Secondly, on this particular bill, obviously the votes aren't here in the committee to pass it out right now, but I would like to make a point to the board, to Mr. Smith, that the administrative rules please be written within the next 6 months, and that they be passed directly to Representative Holy for his approval, that he looks at them and sees them, works with you, and has direct line to them. I think he feels betrayed, and rightfully so, by certain groups in this room, that he wasn't treated fairly and honestly, and I appreciate his feelings on that. I've had it happen to me, and it doesn't feel very good. He's one of our colleagues, and I want to support him as much as we can. So what I like to see is that happen. And if it doesn't happen, in fact, those rules don't get written in a way that protects the public, which that's what we're really trying to get to here, then I would join with the chair and be ready to come back with a bill that is exactly what you want to do and make it precise, make it not vague, very precise, something we can all work with. But at this point, I'm going to go with the committee on this one. Representative Holby, thank you for staying.
Well, I'd just like to make a comment. I appreciate that Ways and Means doesn't want to take on policy problems. I don't feel the bill in front of you that you're looking at has any policy for you to consider. The policy was actually worked out through many work groups. The policy was passed on to this committee as you're reading it. The amendments that you're looking at, one of them was just basically cleanup of language and to solve a couple of technical problems in the bill, and the other one was deleting duplication of continuing education requirements. There is no policy decisions that your committee should be considering in this, in my mind. This is a Ways and Means committee, and the policy was passed on to this committee to look at. They're completely other funds. I think that this certification, although could be implemented by CCB, I agree with the senator on that. 2654 doesn't ensure that that happens with the certification process, and that was a recommendation that was brought from the task force that was empowered by the last legislature, and people spent an incredible amount of time on these recommendations. We didn't adopt all of these recommendations, to be fair to the industry. We're very sympathetic to their concerns, but there's a huge problem out there with building envelope systems failing because people don't know what they're doing when they're installing them. And this particular program was meant to address that, to make sure that somebody, at least one person on a project, knows what the heck they're doing when they're installing these building envelope systems. I hope it gets done through the good graces of the CCB, but I do say that the CCB has a board that directs no disrespect to Mr. Smith, but it's made up of construction contractors who have a special interest in what decisions are made by that board. I think it's incumbent upon this legislature to give specific direction. That's what this bill did. I'm a little disappointed, but I think we can get there in the long term. I just think it's going to be a different route. And hopefully consumers don't suffer throughout the state as a result of the vagueness that we've and the latitude that we've given to the CCB in implementing this kind of a process. So, but I appreciate your position. I just disagree. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Holby. I appreciate your disagreement. I understand your position on it, and fully respect that. And as both Senator Bates and I have said, and I think other members of this committee would say too, if we don't have the success that you find to be adequate to deal effectively with this problem by the February session, we will be the first people in line to be behind you to move this bill or in another form of this bill forward in the February session. So,
thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I could just make one comment, thank you. I appreciate that very much. I do believe that they'll have a lot of similarity in this interim, short interim before February. And I would expect that Representative Holley will still be chairing the committee for whatever needs that the Speaker or the President decide we're going to handle in February, as will I on the Senate side. And so I think we can give you our assurances that we will be expecting those rules and to meet the needs of consumers by February, or we will collectively ensure that that is done if it has not already been done, and appreciate your willingness to follow that with us. And to see that the expectations of the consumers and the industry are both put together in a way that benefits everyone, and that they are finished by February, and if not, it'll be very clear to all of us what we need to do.
Thank you, and thank you both.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we're going to close then the work session on House Bill 2656, and we're going to open a work session on House Bill 3242.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For House Bill 3242, you'll find a similar packet. Well, sort of a similar packet. There's an overview memo and attached. Since the bill itself is 46 pages long and we do have one proposed amendment, I just copied the page that is being amended, and I received this amendment through Chair Jensen. So I guess I'll just remind you that House Bill 3242 essentially creates endorsements for commercial contractors. Even though there'll also be endorsements for residential, it's my understanding that it doesn't really change the requirements for residential contractors. This is really focused on commercial. And there are some warranty requirements and some workers' comp that are changes. Again, I've repeated the same graphic that I showed you in the public hearing that attempts to lay out the differences in surety bond, liability insurance, experience and training, and continuing education for the different endorsements. The amendments, which, and again, I apologize, I don't have for you. I only have the version that I had. I got it yesterday, and of course, LC hasn't been able to turn it around. But essentially, I believe the amendment is trying to clarify the language of what qualifies for a small commercial structure to address the issues that the remodelers brought forward to you at the public hearing. And then essentially, it adds a third element, which is a project on a non-residential structure that has a contract price of $250,000 or less. It's my understanding that makes the remodelers a little more happy, and I'm sure that there are, if you want more information on this amendment, there are folks in the room if you have questions for them.
Question, staff. Is this a consensus amendment?
Senator Bates. Yes, I have. I don't have the other party.
Not asking for testimony.
But yes,
it is a consensus.
It is, and on this amendment, I must thank Jessica for her willingness to work with us on this, to try to get to a point, and the commercial contractors for their willingness to work with her in trying to get us to a point, and also Mr. Kafouri for the other group who is not here, I see, this morning, but his willingness to come along on this too, and to make an offer that the contractors were willing to accept and find, or that were willing to find acceptable. I think when they looked at the $10,000, I think that maybe I shouldn't say this, but I think they maybe were a little bit bashful about that, realizing that $10,000 in today's construction world is practically $0. It costs almost more than that just to prepare to bid or to, for the job or for any job. So
the permits
themselves
are $5,000 or $6,000.
And by the time we raise permits, as we're inclined to do in this particular session, that will even make it more costly. So yes, it is a consensus bill, and my thanks to those who were willing to work with us on that.
Would you entertain a motion then?
I think yes, I would, if you would.
I'm going to have to assume this has to be a conceptual motion.
That's
because
easy.
We haven't got a number on it.
That's
Mr. Chair, I'd move a conceptual amendment to House Bill 3242A as delineated by LFO, the substance of which is a project on a non-residential structure that has a contract price of $250,000 or less. And I would move that motion into the bill.
Senator Bates has moved the conceptual amendment to page 9, line 23, to delete the period and insert or a project on a non-residential structure that has a contract price of $250,000 or less. Is there discussion on the conceptual amendment?
Mr. Chair, my understanding is that the chief sponsor of this bill does have agreed to this amendment, and also that the chair of the substantive committee that this bill came out of has consented to this amendment.
I would assume they consent to this. I don't know that I can guarantee that at this particular stage of the game. Do you have any, Jessica? If you would,
Mr. Chair, this is a committee bill.
This is a committee bill.
And I would expect that this is germane to the bill and not a anatomical an anatomical change in the bill. It's not gotten stuffed. This is just an amendment to make the bill
right.
More acceptable
it is,
to all parties.
Excuse me, Senator, with all due respect, it says at the top of the bill that it was sponsored by Representative Shoffler.
That's not in my copy, but that's fine. I take your word for it.
Anyway.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Jessica Adamson with Associated General Contractors. We spoke with both Representative Shoffler and the Chair of the Policy Committee, Representative Holvey, yesterday described the amendment, and they both were comfortable.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. We've got a motion on the floor to... regarding the conceptual amendment, is there any further discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? So moved. And we have some additional information I think we need to know about here.
Mr. Chair, I have one more conceptual information for the subcommittee's consideration, and that is to add a $315,000 other funds expenditure limitation increase to the Construction Contractors Board budget to implement the bill. It will allow them to hire two positions, one permanent and one limited duration. The limited duration will be an information specialist, information system specialist. The CCB has to make quite a few changes to their existing database in order to accommodate endorsements, going from a numerical license to a alphanumerical license and those types of things. The permanent position will allow them to develop the rules that are going to be required, the program particularly, and integrate that into CCB's existing business. Against $350,000 other funds expenditure limitation. I'll remind you that when we passed out CCB budget, we carved out $300,000 in the ending balance to fund substantive legislation, so that would cover this increase without worrying about fee increases. I'd like to say that this is implementation. As they get into it, they may find that it impacts other parts of their organization and it may require them to come back to ask for additional resources. I just don't have the capacity to analyze that at this time.
Representative Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Deb, it says that they on the LFO analysis that we got here that they that it's $390,000, and in their carve out we only did $300,000. So can you help me understand where the other $90,000 is going to come from?
Mr. Chair, Representative Crummell, the fiscal that was published on the bill as it worked through the system at getting ready for work session, I looked at that fiscal again and I have carved it down to the $315,000.
315?
Yes. 315,
okay. And
three positions.
And follow up, if I may.
Follow
so
up.
The other 15,000 is just absorbable within their ending fund balance?
I believe, Mr. Chair, Representative Crummell, I think that they can accommodate the $15,000, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Bates.
Mr. Chair, this is within the realm of ways and means. Thank you. Okay. we substantially increased their other funds limitation in order to allow them to do a more thorough job of inspecting and looking basically for contractors working under the radar, so to speak, and I appreciate their willingness to do that. I just want to be certain that LFO feels comfortable with this. We've now sort of hit their ending fund balance twice. Once pretty big to allow them to have the personnel and locations from the standing bed and somewhere in Southern Oregon in order to really get the job done. And now we're hitting them again. Was this something that LFO considered when we made the first adjustment to the budget? Was it something you knew was coming and were comfortable with?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, we did carve out. We knew substantive legislation was going to hit the board, and we did carve out $300,000 to cover substantive legislation. If both bills had passed, I would start to be a little uncomfortable because the one had a 250 and. But we did carve out, provided the revenue projections come in the way we anticipated. And, in fact, in the ending balance, I think we also made an allowance for the fact that maybe they wouldn't come in. So, yes, I think, Senator Bates, we were real careful.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, do you need a motion then for...
Could I ask staff to go on with one other explanation? I don't know whether maybe I missed it as we were going through it, but that is in relationship to the conflict amendments.
I could do that before we have a motion on the budget part. Sure.
I would appreciate
okay.
that if we could, so that we are aware of what we're doing when we move this forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you heard when we talked about the previous bill, there are some overlaps with House Bill 2654, which is, as folks said, has passed both chambers. What I've tried to do in the last part of the overview memo is identify there's at least one potential area of conflict between this bill and 2654, and that's in the level of surety bond requirements particularly for the residential. I tried to lay it out in that table with the current law requirements, what 2654 requires, and it looks like 3242 has just the current law levels in there. And so we would need conflict amendments to, I'm assuming, and I appreciate Mr. Smith's staff work yesterday, assuming that we would want to increase the residential surety bond requirements in 3242 to equal the 2656 level. I don't have the conflict amendment. I understand that what happened between sub and full. Again, budget geek, not policy.
And it's my understanding that that's a normative sort of process, but I did want you all to be aware of it as you look at this or as you have questions about it. Before we move this forward, I'm told that it's not necessary for us to do that. This happens with some regularity in the building, and that there is a mechanism already in place to deal with it.
And Mr. Chair, if I might, it's my understanding that they would show up at full, and
right.
So they would be in front of the full Ways and Means Committee, and you would.
Yes, I'm ready for a motion, I think.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Well, sure.
Make sure I know what we're doing.
Senator
Beard. 2654, not 5654.
Correct.
Has already been passed. And we're looking at residential. We're looking at different surety bonds for residential, commercial, and we need to. And it would be helpful if we adopted one or the other, so there wouldn't be a conflict. Correct.
I think there has to. I believe, Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, that the conflict has to be resolved in order to move forward.
Yes. And my question is, on the commercial side, there's a huge drop in the surety bond. Surety bond for general contractors from $75,000 to $20,000, is that correct? Or is that because we've had some misprints today, I'm just asking, okay?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, yes, I think 2654 went forward on a path that didn't consider or wasn't aware of, I don't know what the correct language would be, of the new endorsements for commercial contractors. And so when we brought on the new endorsements in recognition that there's a business difference in risk and dispute resolution practices between a residential contractor and a commercial contractor, they agreed that the surety bond level and insurance should be higher for commercial. And so these two bills were going down parallel tracks. One has passed. 3242 for commercials requires a higher level, which I think was what's expected for the commercial endorsements to work. 2654 raised the residential for probably very good reasons. That just wasn't picked up in 3242.
So are we supposed to split the baby in this thing?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, I hate policy bills.
I enjoy policy bills, but when we have time, we really walk through them.
I think what they would want the conflict amendment to do would be in 30. Again, are you going to help me, Craig?
Yes.
Thank you.
Deborah, can I say something because I've got this straight?
Okay.
Probably want to accept the commercial rates in 3242
mm-hmm.
and the residential rates in 2654.
Yes, Senator Bates.
Chair Jensen, members of the committee, Senator Bates, the 2654 raised the bond level for all contractors. There's really just one contractor level in 54. That raised it up to, for a general contractor, $20,000. The bill before you didn't consider that. Instead divides contractors into residential and commercial. And in commercial, two levels, the lower level being a $20,000 bond. When it referred to the residential contractors, it kept the status quo of $15,000. Because 2654 raises that up to $20,000, the conflict amendment would take care of that issue so that the lowest bond for a general contractor, either residential or commercial, would be $20,000.
Okay. On that basis, then you're not asking us to split the baby. You want us to accept 2654.
Yes.
You, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
But you wouldn't want those rates for commercial contractors.
Commercial contractors, the floor is $20,000 for a level one, level two.
I'm sorry, you're correct.
So the minimum bond level for a general contractor would be maintained at $20,000 if you go along with the conflict information.
Commercial or residential?
Correct.
Follow-up question?
Follow-up?
General contractor level one commercial drops from $75,000 to $20,000. Is that correct?
Chair Jensen, Senator Bates, today there is no bond level for a commercial contractor. This would establish bond levels for commercial contractors in excess or higher than that required of a contractor today. And it would create two categories, a level one and a level two. And the idea for this, as I understand the drafters of the bill, was to provide entry level for the commercial market that is not prohibited, because most people can get a $20,000 bond. People may not be able to get a $75,000 bond. So that was one of the best parts of the aim of this bill, create that entry level for commercial contracting work.
Mr. Chair, I'm afraid that perhaps my display, although intended to be helpful, may be confusing some folks, in that as Craig, what I think you've seeing a similar display. In 2656, what Mr. Smith is saying is you don't have all that level of distinction in commercial. And so even though I've listed the rates there under 2654 of $20,000 for the levels, they really don't exist in the 2654 world.
Okay.
They exist just for general and specialty. When you move over to 3242 is when you start to have the differentiation between general specialty level one, level two, and that's when the newer higher rates come in for the commercial contractors. So I don't believe you would want to go, and even though it's the entry level, you still want in 3242 that delineation to a level 2 that has the higher bonding requirements. You wouldn't want to stay for all commercial contractors at the 2654 level.
And perhaps I could put, Chair Jensen, members of the committee, perhaps I can put this into a nutshell. The problem is if this conflict doesn't go through, you'll have one bill, this one, that sets a lower bond level than what you authorized through 2654. And, of course, you don't want to do that. You want to raise the bond levels to provide additional protection for consumers.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Two points of inquiry.
Yes.
Thank you. The first is that I believe both in our rules and in our statutes, when there are two bills that have passed, the bill that passes later is the bill, if there's not conflict amendments done, the bill that passes later is the one that takes effect. So what's currently in 3242 is what would take effect.
Correct.
My second point of inquiry is that does this committee have to take action even if it's a conceptual amendment in terms of the conflict amendments, or is that an action that without this committee's action the full Ways and Means Committee can take?
Representative, in response to your first question, that's correct. If nothing happens and there is no conflict for amendments made to resolve the difference between this, this bill, 3242, would be what's in law. That which passes last is the law. And therefore, the some of the raises or the increases that were present in 2654 would not take place. Therefore, the conflict. And as far as procedural thing with this, it would be there is a conflict here. Legislative Council would resolve that conflict, and that resolution would be adopted by the Full Ways and Means Committee at the time that this bill appears in the Full Ways and Means Committee. And response to, does that have to come through this committee? No, it does not procedurally have to.
So as a maybe as a suggestion, if it would please the chair, so that we don't get really hung up on this, we're all aware that the conflict amendments will need to be adopted by the Full Ways and Means. I would suggest that maybe staff work with the department and LC to make sure that the conflict amendments get drafted the way they're supposed to be drafted at the levels that they're supposed to be drafted at, and then those be adopted so that we don't get hung up on that particular piece of the policy here where we don't have the actual amendments in front of us anyway.
Thank you, Representative. That will transpire and take place like that. And the reason that I bring this to you and wanted to talk about it today is so that between now and whenever this transpires, that the members of the committee know what's going on with it. So when one of your colleagues asks you a question, you're not in the dark with it.
So when will we actually, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Crummell. So when will we actually see the amendment?
We will actually, I expect, not see the amendment until we walk on the floor for the Full Ways and Means.
We will see.
I mean, that's given that it's that time of the session where things are in high gear.
And will the conflict amendment be in, what the number is now, House Bill 3242?
Yeah.
Will be a completely separate amendment,
I think. Be separate amendment.
Could we see that as a companion, though? So this is going to get very complex. We'll get all kinds of questions in Full Ways and Means, or none. You never know. And I like to have to
Senator Bates,
at the same time.
I'm sorry. I think your pay grade above mine.
before I can give you any sort of guarantees on that. But we will do everything in our power to make sure that you're not left out in...
That's not a problem. I have a feeling that I might be carrying this in full. I just want to make sure that if I carry it in full, that I know what's going on. Since I'm now engaged. Okay. You may want to carry this yourself, Mr. Chair.
This is a house bill.
Oh, I can't carry it.
So I think you're...
Representative Edwards would be here.
That's a good point. Okay. At this point, I would accept the motion.
I would conceptually amend this bill for the added $350,000 other funds expense limitation for implementation of the bill.
Senator Bates moves to we accept the conceptual amendment for $350,000 other.
$315,000.
Other funding expenditure limitation. Is there discussion? Hearing none. And objections? Seeing none. So ordered. And I would accept a motion to move the bill as conceptually, as amended and conceptually amended.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 3242A as conceptually amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation and total confusion.
Senator Bates moves House Bill 3242 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation as 3242 is conceptually amended. Is there further discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered, and the record show that Representative Edwards is excused. We would have to have carriers, and in light of the fact that on the full Ways and Means, we'd have to have carriers. In light of the fact I stepped on Representative Galizio's toes this morning, I suppose I don't want to ask him to do this on the House side.
So
I will carry on the House side, and we will check with Representative Holby if he wants to carry on the full, or if the on the House floor, and Senate floor, Senator Bates will be happy to carry on the Senate floor.
Can you tell us, Mr. Chair, when that's going to happen so I can go and sit in the gallery?
Yeah, surely. I'd be happy to, and I'll call the House.
I'll ask my colleagues. No question, Senate floor. Okay.
Mr. Chair, are you closing the work session?
I'm about to. To do that, we're going to close the work session on 3242.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Crummell.
Thank you very much for your leadership this session on this committee. I appreciate it, and I also appreciate your patience when I was over here being a troublemaker, such as I was yesterday afternoon. But there are some principles there, and anyway, I just would like to say thank you.
Thank you, Representative Crummell, and I hope you understand that I don't perceive of that as being a troublemaker. Senator Bates.
I'm on a pile on a little bit. Thanks for being a great chair. And I especially appreciated how you would work with members of this committee. When we had typical issues, we'd go outside, try to work it out, bring it back in. A lot of chairs won't do that with us. And I really appreciate that. I think we got better work done because of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bates.
Should we all join in thanking the chair?
Yeah. We really think that we're finished. Yeah?
One of the advantages, of course, of being the chair is to have the last word. And, I would like to thank every member of the committee. And, you know, for a committee that has dealt with as little general fund money as we have dealt with in this session and as this committee typically deals with, I genuinely appreciate how engaged the committee has been. I appreciate all of their opinions, and you have been a great group of people to work with. If I ever have the good fortune or misfortune, as the case may be, again, for such an honor, I would certainly request all of you be there
on a committee with me. So my thanks and my gratitude to you. You have been a great help to me, and I appreciate it a whole bunch that I can't express. Thank you.
Thank you, John.